I've been directly involved in the launch of over a dozen multi-site campuses through the churches I've led, and half of them have been in movie theaters. I'm convinced that every church leader should consider using a theater for your next campus or church plant. They're flexible, culturally relevant locations, typically in the center of the community that you're trying to reach. Regal is the only theater company with a dedicated team of full-time consultants ready to help your church launch and succeed in a movie theater. Check out RegalTheaterChurch.com for more information on locations your church could use.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich. So glad that you've decided to join us today. You're going to be rewarded for that. We've got a great interview lined up today with Barnabas Piper. He's with his day job is with Lifeway Leadership. You might have known him from the various places that he is online. He's an author, speaker. He's written a bunch of books, three books, and we're going to talk about one of those today. Barnabas, welcome to the show today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be on with you.
Yeah, I know. I really appreciate that you're here. So what I'd love to do is for people, you to give people kind of the Barnabas story. Who is Barnabas in, 30 seconds, which is always hard to do. And then we'll talk about the questions at hand today.
Right. Well, what people will probably want to hear in that is that John Piper is my dad. That sort of sets the stage. So the first book I wrote was about being a pastor's kid, kind of springboarding off of some of that. Mm-hmm. So I grew up obviously in a pastor's home. He retired from the pastorate when I was 30. So that was very formative in my growing up years as a Christian, very much in the church world. Mm-hmm. Went to Christian college, got into Christian publishing. So that's been the world that I live in. And have tried to become a kind of an objective observer of Christian culture and church trends and things like that. Not a researcher, but just sort of an observer of how people experience faith and how church works and how church doesn't work and sort of some of the idiosyncrasies of things. So one of the things I do on the side is I host a podcast called The Happy Rant, and we like to poke fun at things that the church does, but in a good spirited way, sort of like laughing with them, not at them, sort of spirit of things. You said, I work at Lifeway and really enjoy the opportunity to work alongside churches. Mm-hmm. So as opposed to working directly for them, which is something, having been in the church my whole life, I don't know that I'd fit very well, but I really enjoy working for the good of the church in some capacity. So that's the aim of the things that I write online, the podcasts that I do, the books that I write. I have two kids. I live in the Nashville area. I have a semi-addiction to Minnesota sports, which leads me to a semi-depressive state sometimes.
Nice.
Love reading, love hiking, just sort of, that's a few things about me. I hope that gives some sense.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So for folks listening on the podcast, you'll know I don't often have authors on. If I said, okay, we're going to just have authors on, we could do 50 episodes a year just on that. And
you would be flooded with requests from publicists.
Yes, exactly. And so, but I think Barnabas is a great guy. I had a chance to be a part of your Pipeline conference last fall, which is amazing. People should check that out for this coming year. You're doing it again.
Doing it in October.
Yeah, it's a fantastic event. And so I would strongly recommend that. And, you talked about the Happy Rant. Five Leadership Questions is one of the best podcasts out there, which is another one that Barnabas is on. So I appreciate that. But let's jump into The Curious Christian, How Discovering Wonder Enriches Every Part of Life. Why did you write this book?
It came from a few places. So the book that I wrote before was about faith and doubt and questions. And when you spend enough time asking questions and thinking questions, it just sort of, you either find all the answers you're looking for or it sort of snowballs. And the thing that I realized was people don't know how to think about questions. Mm. And I don't say this as somebody who has had this sort of enlightened genius moment and here I am to fill, I've got all the answers, but really just trying to help people think about thinking and think about questions, because my observation is that Christians just sort of muddle through life a lot of times and miss they miss the beauty in the world. They mm-hmm. they miss opportunities to connect with other people. Mm-hmm. We lack the resources to cross cultures. Mm-hmm. You know, having invested in, you mentioned the Five Leadership Questions podcast, it's a theme that comes up repeatedly when we mm-hmm. talk to guests on there, when they talk about how they thrive as a leader and how curiosity is essential in that, because otherwise they just sort of dry up and wither. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for the soul. I think that's true for relationships. I think it's true for the church. Mm-hmm. I think the church needs to be a more curious place. And I think it's ultimately true for our relationship with God, because just fundamentally speaking, if we are finite beings who worship an infinite God, that means we have endless opportunities for discovery. Mm-hmm. And so without curiosity, we're wasting our opportunities, and in some senses we'll waste eternity mm-hmm. because we'll have endless opportunities to engage God that way mm-hmm. and that's a remarkable thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, even at the core of this podcast, we're trying to expose people to a wide variety of church leaders. And a part of that is, I'm hoping, will stir conversation, will stir, curiosity. There are mm-hmm. more than just, sometimes I think in the, what would you call it, the church industrial complex, we get this impression that there are like five name brand churches in mm-hmm. the country, and it's like, that's the way ministry has to be done. But the thing I love that you're pushing here is to think, we need to be thinking about things a little bit differently, not be as kind of narrow-minded in our engagement right. with the way we lead. What would you, encouragement would you give to someone who's listening in and say, yes, I do want to, so I get that, I want to, mm-hmm. Expand my horizons, want to maybe think with a bit more curiosity. What should I be doing to ultimately engage more curiosity in my life?
Well, I think that's a hard question to answer in sort of a short list because curiosity is a really nebulous thing. Mm-hmm. But I think that also is why it's accessible, because it can be very overwhelming if you try to get your head around it all at once. I had that experience just in trying to write about it. It's where do you start?
Right.
And I think the starting place is as close to home as possible, mm-hmm. because in thinking concentric circles. So there's, in terms of, who are you closest to? What are you most interested in? So the things that you're already interested in, so leadership, theology, ministry, social justice issues, mm-hmm. your neighbors, literally start close to home. Like, what's on your bookshelf right now? Mm-hmm. What documentary is in your Netflix queue? Mm-hmm. Who lives next door? Those kinds of things. And curiosity in those ways becomes just asking, what don't I know about this? Mm. Like, what else is there? There's always the question of what else is there. And then as you expand out from there, the concepts get bigger, the connections get bigger. But the coolest thing about curiosity is the connections that it creates. Mm. So anytime you ask a good question, it leads to another idea or another level of depth in a relationship or another thing that you've learned. And then you ask questions about that, and it becomes this web of connections between people and ideas, and that's the richness of it.
Mm-hmm. How in your own life, I would assume, a part of what you do, your day job is helping churches think through how to, develop leaders better. You're constantly trying to, help churches think about, ministry in a different way or in a more effective way. How have you found that, even just that exploration, how has that benefited in your, your approach to your work and ministry?
I think it expands the what's the word I'm looking for? The number of options on how to solve problems, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, we in the church tend to have sort of, we get stuck in ruts. Mm-hmm. This is how we have done things, and mm-hmm. that's a real quick way for a ministry to die. exactly. That's how we've always done it.
Yeah.
But then also we sort of look at it and go, well, here's three options on how to solve things. We sort of look at existing mm-hmm. models. Mm-hmm. Well, we could do it like that church or like this book. Mm-hmm. And I just look at it and go, but why are those the only options? That's a false
right.
choice.
Right.
Like, what opportunities exist that haven't been explored, or what resources? Churches have resources they've never considered mm-hmm. in terms of people, mm-hmm. the gifts of the people in the church, mm-hmm. the people who have this itch to serve, but they don't even know how to get involved. And so as a leader, what curiosity leads you to tap into that and right. to discover it and to find it. And so I think it blows through with fresh air to kind of push all the stale air out mm-hmm. and create a bit of a blank slate, not in terms of, oh, we're starting at zero, we're going to start from the ground up, but just in a, you know, there are more options than we've considered. There's more opportunities than we've considered. Mm-hmm. God has blessed us with people and gifts and resources that we've never considered. Mm-hmm. And I think that, and curiosity also keeps people humble, right? Because it's a constant acknowledgement of, I don't know.
Right.
I don't. And if that's the case, I mean, then that's a vital trait for leaders.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, talking about the kind of opposite of curiosity, why do you think the idea of, we've always done it this way is such a powerful, you know, thing that we're drawn to, mm-hmm. as leaders? One of the things I've been thinking about recently is, you know, I'm in my 40s, 40 something leader, you know, have been involved in a lot of innovative ministry over the years. And I see my friends' churches stuck, and they are doing, they're doing innovative ministry from 15 years ago. They're literally right. doing it the same. And they yeah. came in fact, they talk about change. They're excited about change. They're like, no, we have to change the church. But then actually, when you look at what's happening, they're not moving forward. Why is it that that idea of this is the way we've always done it here is such a powerful idea to leaders?
I think the real short answer is that ideas are fun and leadership is hard.
It's so true.
I mean, it's so easy to sit around, you know, a conference room or be at a conference or a coffee shop or whatever and have 15 ideas. Man, what if we could? That what if right. question, that big, big horizons looking out there. But then you get back and you've got 9 emails from unhappy people or, you know, a budget question, or like just the grind of daily work. Mm-hmm. Change in that context is way harder than ideas.
Right.
But I think in the church, there's another aspect, and that is, depending on the church tradition, mm-hmm. change can feel like a slippery slope. Mm. If we give something up, are we giving up something that's godly or
that's
moral?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you talked about things that worked 15 years ago don't work mm-hmm. anymore. I think there are people who are tied to sort of the emotional and spiritual impact of those things. You know, that ministry changed my life when I was in college, so I'm still attached to it, but that ministry is completely hokey now.
Right, right.
But that doesn't change the effectiveness of it 15 years ago. It just means we need to carry the effectiveness forward, not the methodology forward, or not the structure of it. And that's a thing that they're tied in people's minds, I think, specifically in the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder too if when we're, you know, communicating to people that we over-spiritualize our leadership decisions. And so we create this problem. So we talk about, well, we're going to be doing this. And, you know, and instead of just saying like, hey, this is what we're doing for this next season, you know, we're going to try these few things. It becomes like, we believe that God is leading us to do this.
Right.
Which sets up in people's heads, okay, well, then that we must always go that way then. You know, it's a false conflation between, you know, between those two. You know, I wonder if that ultimately then closes off, you know, ideas. Mm-hmm. What would you think when you wrote this book, who were you really targeting at? It strikes to me, now this could be wrong, that this is an even broader kind of a broader market book than that you're trying to reach out to, not mm-hmm. just specifically church leaders or even leaders particularly. This could be easily used as a resource with people, you know, in broader context.
You know, it's funny when that's the same question every publisher asks when you're pitching a book to them is, you know, who is this for?
Yep.
And I have a hard time answering that question because the answer is whoever's interested in it. But that's not a very satisfactory answer. It is people who genuinely, like, there is a daily drive to engage Christianity better. So hungry Christians. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I write it in such a way that I hope a stay-at-home mom reads this and goes, oh, this helps me engage my kids better. A 20-something fresh out of college who's sort of figuring out their work world can look at this and do the same thing. And a church leader. And because it does, I do try to point it in different directions because it starts with the concept of curiosity and engaging God and engaging truth. Mm-hmm. Because my thought in that is that curiosity, godly curiosity, is the pursuit of truth in everything. Mm-hmm. So in your engaging art, culture, people, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And truth is reality as God intends it to be. So not just what exists now, but the thing that God intends to be real. So God's will ultimately, but I wanted to kind of put flesh on that. And so that can be applied anywhere. That can be applied over a cup of coffee. That can be applied in making a cup of coffee. You know, if you know, for the barista, it's just, it is the person who wants to figure out what, how to do these things. And I really want it to be for the person who wants and needs permission to explore God's world and his word in a fresh and broader way.
Have you found in your own life that, you know, you talk about, you know, concentric circles, kind of starting where you are, being curious about those things that are closest to you, but then, you know, ultimately going out from there. Have you found that in your own life that actually getting outside of the norm of your normal, you know, has that been a positive part of, you know, generating curiosity or cultivating curiosity in your life?
Well, yeah, because it has one of two effects. It either makes you, it either opens the eyes to all of the things in the world you don't know anything about. So talking to refugee neighbors. I mean, I grew up in Minneapolis, and during the time I was growing up, thousands, tens of thousands of Somalis were fleeing. And I don't know why they ended up in the frozen north, something about that. But there's a, it's not just a thriving community. I mean, it's a city-sized population of people now who have a culture in Minneapolis, and I played basketball with them, and I was neighbors with them and went to school with them. And so that pushed me in one of two directions. There's either sort of a rigidity that rejects them, sort of that inherent human bigotry that stems from fear of the different. Or there's the recognition that, wow, God has created people who have experiences and cultures and languages that are so far outside my own, that is a beautiful opportunity to know them, to understand them, or to see God's fingerprints in that culture. And so, yeah, it absolutely is an expansiveness. And I mean, growing up in the city was the same thing, that the multiculturalism, the different income levels, music styles, like the music that my suburban white peers listen to is not the same music that I love. You know, I'm not a big like Wilco and Radiohead fan. Sorry, everybody. You know, I'm like, give me Bill Withers and Tupac and jazz. Like and that's just, but even that kind of speaks to the curiosity of engaging the things of different kinds of people. So yeah, I think getting outside of the concentric circle starting point is the on-ramp, but it's not the stopping place.
Right.
Because otherwise you're not really curious. You've tapped out.
Right. Very good. And I know even in, you know, obviously this podcast is targeted at, and it's a lot of church leaders. I know just a even practical thing, we can become, one of the disturbing trends I've seen in my own world is we have become more and more siloed as evangelicals, that the kind of evangelical camp is becoming, you know, even within our broad circle, you know, it's become more and more, it's like, you know, I would never go to, you know, insert whatever, like I'm a, you know, an attractional church person. I would never go to a Reformed, you know, conference because those people, they don't really want to reach people. And then vice versa, Reformed people would be like, yeah, but those people, they're not proclaiming the word of God. And you know, that it's sad, because ultimately what ends up happening is you limit your own ability to stretch and grow and be like, hey, maybe there is something, you know, broader than just our own little circle. Well, this is great. And where can people pick up the Curious Christian? I'm assuming at Amazon and at Lifeway Books.
You can go to Amazon.com, you can go to Lifeway.com, you can go to BarnesandNoble.com. If they go to CuriousChristianBook.com, you can read a little bit more about the book. There's sort of a fun little quiz about how curious are you there. So sort of one of those assessments. It's like seven questions long, so it won't take long. It just sort of gives you an answer of what kind of curiosity you have, or in some cases don't have. So CuriousChristianBook.com is a great place to go to.
Nice, because everybody loves a test. So, you know, that's
Everybody loves to find out more about themselves. Like that's the first thing we're curious about is, ooh, I like thinking about me. So go do that.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump in the lightning round, that part of the show where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show today. We've got Barnabas Piper with us. So glad to have you. These are not quite the five questions that you guys ask, but similar. What's an online resource that you're using these days, Barnabas, that's helping you in your ministry and work?
Well, on the work side of things, we work in the Google environment, and the collaborative ability of like Google Sheets, Google Forms, Google Docs, all of that. I actually just recently switched positions at work, and so the ability to handle that transition by sharing things that way, it's so easy. And then on the personal side, I use Downcast to to organize and listen to podcasts, and avid podcast listener, always looking for new good options. And so it's, I started using it because Apple's podcast app was terrible when they first launched it, and I've stuck with it and love the interface. So Downcast is sort of one of my personal go-to apps.
Very good. Well, this next question, I'm interested to know, what's a book that you've read in the last 6 months to a year that's shaping your ministry and thinking? For a guy that works for a publisher, this will be an interesting question.
Yeah, there are two come to mind. The first is Team of Rivals. It's not a new book, but Doris Kearns Goodwin, historian, and it's about Lincoln, the rise of Lincoln to the presidency, and then the formation of his cabinet. And I don't know that I've ever read a book that had so many leadership lessons wrapped up just in history and stories. Goodwin is an incredibly detailed historian. I mean, it's a labor of love to read that book. It's it's substantial. But especially with today's political climate, it is an evergreen, timeless book in terms of leading across party lines, Lincoln's humility as a leader, his constant desire to understand people and to learn. I mean, he was an insatiably curious person. He read poetry. He read all these things. So that's one. The other one is a much shorter book. It's called Strong and Weak by Andy Crouch. Crouch is one of my favorite thinkers because he perpetually sets up paradigms that help me understand truth and God and the world better. And this is a look at power and weakness and how the two, both of them are essential in the Christian life, but how both get abused in the world. It's maybe 150 pages long. It's a quick read, but so much packed in there. So Team of Rivals and Strong and Weak by Andy Crouch are both phenomenal.
What's another ministry that you're looking to these days that inspires you?
You know, in the world that I've worked in this church leadership space, big churches kind of rule the day. But I've become more and more interested in how small churches are doing things, whether it's rural churches or I just recently started going to a church of maybe 200 or 300 people in East Nashville, and there's just a different kind of life in a small church. It's very attractive to me as in terms of community and things like that, but just the leadership structures are different, the opportunities are different, the ability to connect with the community is different. So small churches in general, and I think it's also taught me a lot about what is healthy in church. We associate church health with church size, and I've just seen that that's a false metric, because I've been at large churches that are pretty cancerous, and have been at small churches that are just vibrant, and and so that's that just sort of pool of churches is one that I constantly look to these days.
Cool. Very cool. If you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would you want to get that with and why?
Oh, man, you sent this one in advance, and that was the one that I had to chew on for the longest. I think I would want 15 minutes with Barack Obama.
Okay, nice. Very cool.
Because setting aside political things, just as the first black president, and then as somebody who, especially as I noticed it more in his second term, just the rise of the visibility of how he treated his family publicly.
So true.
He seemed so, respectful, so honoring. So, I mean, he genuinely loves his wife. Or, I mean, that's the appearance. But then also all of the political challenges working across party lines. I mean, he just, I want to know what it was like to be him in the office of president as a black man with the political climate that it is, because regardless of whether you agree with him or disagree with him, he certainly seems like an honorable, respectable person who navigated that seemingly really well.
Absolutely, for sure. Yeah, and I think the word on the street was that he, you know, part of His way he managed and led was that he, he was at home in the evenings, you know, with his family, maybe even to the detriment of his leadership, which is interesting. But that story doesn't get told much. He seems to really ultimately, you know, you're right, had seemed to be, you know, in love with his wife and kids, which is amazing. Well, I know leading in your organization's got to be really exhausting at times in your own personal life. What do you do just for fun to kind of kick back, relax, and have a good time?
Yeah, it's books, sports, and outdoors. Those are my so I used to play sports, and now I have creaky knees and an achy back. So now I watch them and live vicariously through actual athletes.
Yep.
And then reading, I'm usually reading 4 or 5 books at once because I never know what I'm going to be in the mood for. So try to mix it up: fiction, history, leadership, theology, or Christian, something spiritual formation oriented. And then living in Tennessee provides all sorts of opportunities for, you know, great hiking trails and things like that. So getting out, and that's it. That is one of the best ways to just sort of clear my head. And whether it's prayer or like listening to a podcast while I hike, just coming away feeling pretty refreshed from that. So those are 3 things I just sort of constantly do, and trying to include my kids in those things as well. So getting them to watch basketball with me, or taking them to baseball games, or getting outside and doing things, those kinds of things.
Very cool. Well, that's great. If people want to get in touch with you or about the book, thecuriouschristianbook.com is the way. Any other way they can get in touch with you?
Twitter and Facebook. So I have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/bpiper, or you can find me at Barnabas Piper on Twitter. That is probably where I'm most accessible and most responsive. So either one, though.
Great. Thanks so much, Barnabas. Appreciate being on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch, or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.